woman flying to California, to New York, to receive an award for some work that she did. They were flying on a plane that had three engines. So picture this plane with three engines. Midway through the flight, the pilot got on and said, "I don't want to alarm you, but we just lost one of our engines. It's okay, we can fly on two engines. It'll just take us an hour longer to get there." Oh, an extra hour to get there. Well, went a little bit farther, and the pilot gets back on and says, "Don't be alarmed. We lost one of our engines. But it's all right. We can fly on one engine, but it'll take us an extra hour to get there." This woman who was a little frustrated because she had big plans, she says, "If we lose another engine, we'll be up here all night long." I don't think they'll be up there all night long if they lose another engine. I think they'll be going down pretty quick. But I think I would be more worried about my life than about an award or a plan that I had. So turn with me to James chapter 4, if you would. That's where we're going to be looking today. I know none of us would be like that, but sometimes we are so caught up in our plans that we don't see the uncertainty of life. Tomorrow may not be there. I may not make it to the next hour. What we need to see today is that life is precious. We need to seize each day and live out each day to its fullest. Sometimes we're so caught up in the future. "I can't wait till I get my driver's license. When I get my driver's license, that's going to be awesome." Then we get our driver's license. "I can't wait till I go to college. That's going to be so awesome." We go to college. "I can't wait till I can go get a job and make some money." And we get a job and make some money. "I can't wait till I get married." And we get married. "I can't wait till I have kids. And we have kids. "I can't wait till I retire." And we retire. We kind of wish our lives away. We wish our lives away. Each day is a gift from God. Don't take it for granted, thinking about the future. Live in the moment. Live for the day. And so let's look at James 4, 13 through 17. It says, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that.' As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins." So I'm going to stop right there. And I want us to look, first today is life is uncertain. Life is uncertain. Last week we looked at James 4, 1 through 12. Don't forget about that passage of Scripture, because obviously it ties right in. The passage just continues going through here. As a reminder, James said that we cannot live for the world and for God at the same time. We must choose. That introduces this chapter about what we think about our decisions, about what we think about our decisions that we make here on earth. Each of us, as we go through our lives here, we have to make decisions on what gets our attention, what gets our time. We have to make decisions about what is important to us. We have to decide how we spend our paychecks. When you think about these things, what are you doing? In the end, is making a decision about whether you will live as a friend of the world or whether you're going to live as a friend of God. It's one or the other. And James goes on now into this passage, and he says in verse 13 and 14, "Now listen. You who say today or tomorrow we go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." just based on verse 13, I think the problem is the level of certainty expressed in these words. People who talk this way act like they are in total control of their lives. You hear that? They feel like they're in total control of their lives. They are the ones who decide the when, either today or tomorrow. They are the ones that decide the where, to this city or that city. They decide how long we're going to stay there for a year or so. They decide what, in this case, buying and selling. And they decide, and they are the ones that determine their success. We will make profit there. You know, we make our plans, don't we? We make our plans. I'm going to do this on Thursday night. Oh, in December, I'm going to go and I'm going to do this. I'm going to go back to school next year. You know, it's all right to make plans. James is not saying planning is wrong. He is just saying that when we plan, we need to be aware of God in our planning. Because you may not be around next year to go to school. You may get sick with cancer and unable to start your business that you want to start. Your business might fail so that you can't take this trip that you want to go on. It's easy for us Christians to make plans and goals, and we just expect God to fall into line and just do what our plans and goals are. James warns us in this kind of thinking. Some people think that James is warning unchristian people. But look at who James is writing this passage of Scripture to. James is writing this to believers. He is writing to people who believe in God, but did not consider His will for their lives as important. They plan their lives with little thought of God when what God wanted them to do or what tomorrow might bring. These businessmen were arrogantly assuming that they'd wake up tomorrow. Again, we don't know if we'll wake up tomorrow. That they would safely get to the city. That their business venture would be successful. That no one would rob them of their income. They were presuming all these things made about an unknown future that they had no control over. You know, personally, I made my plans for my life too. I intentionally went to school. When I went to college, I went to school for sports management. I wanted to run a golf course. I wanted to run a rec fitness center, something along those lines. But my plans got changed. Here I am, my 24th year of ministry, serving the Lord and preaching. God has a way of changing your plans. You may have the next 10 years all lined out of what you want to do. I'm going to work at this job. I'm going to have these amount of kids. I'm going to buy a house in the country. It may happen like that. But there's a possibility that it won't. Maybe your job will fall through. You may not be able to have kids, or you may not be able to afford this house that you wanted. Our future in this world is so uncertain. I heard someone say one time, the only certainty in the future is that you know it will be uncertain. That's the only certainty of the future, that you know it will be uncertain. God has His hand in your future. And we shouldn't plan it like we know exactly what we want and have no room for God to do His work in our lives. Maybe God wants to grab a hold of you and He's going to ask you to become a missionary across seas. Maybe He's going to ask you to be a minister. Maybe He's going to lay upon your heart to be a foster parent for kids that need your help. Maybe do volunteer work. When we grow in Christ, our priorities change and our goals change. I'm not necessarily career-minded anymore. I might decline the supervisor position that offers more money because I think I can do better at the position I'm at now to reach people for Jesus Christ. Again, James is not saying that planning is wrong. The Proverbs, as well as other books, sets forth good planning. Jesus speaks of a man who makes his plans before building a tower. Make sure you can build this tower before you start it. Jesus talks about a king who plans a strategy before going to war. Can I win with this amount of people when I go into battle? But the problem James is addressing is planning without any thought of God in mind. What James is calling for is a change of attitude, a change that recognizes that while I may make my plans, it is God alone who brings them about. Proverbs 16:9 says this, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." Do you hear that? I can plan my course, but it's the Lord that directs my steps. We make all kinds of plans, but it's the Lord is the one in charge of our tomorrows. The realization that we don't know what tomorrow holds should cause us to cast our trust in God, who does know what our future holds. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." Don't boast about tomorrow. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. For that matter, we don't know what will happen tonight or what will happen 1 hour from now. We are not God. We do not know what the future holds. Time magazine has a column called Winners and Losers. In the loser category, in August 2001, issue was Rudy Giuliani, a lame duck New York City mayor suffering from crippling health, struggling marriage, and a crumbling political career. What a loser, Time suggested. Who would want to be this guy? In the winner category, a month earlier, was Ted Olson, a rising star, a Solicitor General of the United States. What a winner, Time proclaimed. Who wouldn't envy this guy? But how things changed. Within a matter of weeks these two issues, Time would refer to Giuliani as the mayor of the world, and a tower of strength for his leadership in the aftermath of September 11th. A few months later, the magazine would name him 2001 Person of the Year. By contrast, the world ached with Ted Olson as we watched him bury his wife, Barbara, a passenger on American Airlines Flight 777, which crashed in the Pentagon. No one envied him at that moment. I want you to see that one day can change the direction and outlook of your lives. You could be on top of the world and something unexpected knocks you off your feet. Or the opposite. You could be down on your luck, but tomorrow might be the day that things fall into place for you. We don't know what the future holds. So the second thing that we see here today is that life is short. Life is short. We do not fully understand the nature of human life. The seconds ticking on the watch or the flipping of pages on the calendar virtually tells us nothing about the brevity of life. The seconds keep moving around the watch. And new calendars are always being produced to replace the old ones. But you know what? James gives us a simple image to help us grasp the nature of human life. Look at verse 14. "You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. I got my little prop here today, my little spray bottle. This is your life. I don't even know if you can see that. There's the mist. It's gone. That's your life. There you are. It's gone. That is our life. In the glimpse of eternity, our life is as brief as a mist. Our life here on earth is not very long. Psalms 90:12 says, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." I will live my life differently if I recognize the true nature of my life. When we see each day as a gift from God, it gives us wisdom to live differently. There is a lot of mention of we in this passage. We will go here. We will do this. But there isn't any mention of God. And the view of the fact that life is a vapor and that God is completely in control, I would encourage you to seek God for your life. What God wants in your life. As you're lying on your deathbed, can you say, I lived my life for the Lord? What will you have accomplished when you enter into in the light of eternity? When your life is gone, what was accomplished? What was accomplished? What will you leave behind when the mist of your life is gone? The terminal wing of a hospital may seem like an unlikely location for a ministry, but that's where the last minute ministry was born. The ministry began when a friend asked his pastor to visit his 92-year-old great-grandfather in the hospital. The elderly man named Jim was not a Christian. So the pastor met with him and asked if he could share one of Jesus' stories with the man. The pastor shared one of the stories of the vineyard owner who hired people to work the last hour of the day, and they got paid in full, received full pay. Jim was also in the 11th hour, not of the day, but of his life. And that day, Jim prayed to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his life. And a week later, this pastor was conducting Jim's funeral. Then one of the pastor's daughters pointed out that there were others on the terminal floor that needed to hear the gospel. So the pastor got special permission to go in room by room and tell the gospel to these people and pray to them and share the story of the 11th hour. In 1 month, he visited 15 people, and 8 people accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. When the pastor was asked about the amazing results of his evangelism, he said, "These people know that they are about to die. People on the terminal floor are a lot more realistic about eternity because they know they're about to die. But what about us? We could, any time, any hour, any day, any week." Job 14:5 says this, "Man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed." I hope you caught that. We cannot exceed our life on this earth by 1 hour, by 1 day, 1 minute, 1 second. You may be young and healthy this morning. Maybe young and healthy this morning, but you could easily be gone by sunrise tonight or sunset tonight. We may not be on the terminal floor in the hospital, but we must see that each of us will die. It could be real soon. Hopefully we will take heed of this and live for eternity. You know, a doctor called one of his patients into his office to deliver some important news to him. He says, "I have the results of your test, and I have some good news and I have some bad news for you. What do you want to hear?" The guy's like, "I guess I want to hear the good news." "So tell me the good news." "Well," the doctor said, "well, the good news is that you have 24 hours to live." "That's the good news. What's the bad news?" "I was supposed to tell you that yesterday." You know, we never know how much time we have. Psalms 39:4. Listen to Psalms 39:4. "Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Everything is but a breath, even those who seem secure." Even those who seem secure is like a mere handbreadth. If you look up all the passages that talk about the brief and fleeting of our lives are, you will see that this is a reoccurring theme. Life is short. So do we get depressed? No. Life is short. Therefore, cling to something that's forever. Cling to something that goes beyond this life. Hope in God instead of hoping in yourself and hoping for the things in this world. The fact is, one that we will do well to understand, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. On December 6, 1941, you remember that? All was well for Americans. The next day, with the strike of Pearl Harbor, everything changed. The future was no longer as people had imagined it. Same way with the morning of September 11, 2001. Around 3,000 people went to their jobs at the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, fire and police stations, and did not come home that night, and all the people on the planes. All of them had plans for the afternoon, that evening, plans for the upcoming weeks, but they were tragically killed in a terrorist attack. No one planned to die that day. Things could happen to any of us. We all have plans for tomorrow, plans for next week, for next month, but we really don't know what one day is going to bring about. I thought about that this week, and I thought, you know what? Somewhere in this world today, a preacher is preaching his last sermon. He doesn't know it. Tomorrow will be the last day some businessman or some teacher sets foot in their workplace. Tomorrow, some child will enjoy his last sporting event. We don't know it. Car accidents happen every day. There are over 5,000 heart attacks and strokes every day. These are not planned. We do not know what tomorrow will bring. I don't want this sermon to be a downer, but I want it to motivate each and every one of us that each day is a precious gift from God. There's a parable, Luke 12, of a rich fool that should open our eyes. This man just had a great harvest. And he says in Luke 12, 19 and 20, he says, "And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?'" The rich fool thought that he planned for anything that might happen for the rest of his life, except his own dying. He planned for whatever could possibly occur, but he didn't plan for what was certainly going to occur, and that was his death. You know, I'm speaking to people who may be playing loosely with their spiritual lives today, gambling that you have plenty of time to hear the gospel and to respond to it. But your future, just like mine, is uncertain. We must commit ourselves to discover God's will for our lives as we plan for our future. So the application for today: life is about God. Life is about God. I have seen t-shirts that say, "Baseball is life. Football is life. Soccer is life. Whatever is life. No, these things just bring enjoyment to life. Really, God is life. Most people see life as the stuff that they have. The common thought of the day is, whoever dies with the most toys wins. But really, you don't need more stuff to make you happy. We can possess all that we have in our lives that make us happy right now. Instead, we work two or three jobs just to pay off what we think we need that will make us happy. Instead of having less stuff, but more time with family and fellowship with the church. There's a Christian song where it talks about a man talking about his neighbor chasing after money. So his neighbor was chasing after money, working long hours to get more stuff. And a couple lines in that song says this: "My little boat is in the water, while his boat, big boat, sits in the yard. And while I'm making time with that gal of mine, his love life's on hold. You can't take it with you when you go." You can't take it with you when you go. The old saying, I've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul. And there's not been a hearse with a U-Haul. We leave behind all we worked for our whole lives. Some people climb the ladder all their lives, only to find that the ladder was against the wrong wall. They should have been climbing a different ladder. They should have been working differently. Let this be a wake-up call to live our lives for the Lord. Think about it. We plan for retirement, but retirement might not come for all of us. There might be some who don't make it to retirement, but we plan for that. Do we plan for eternity? Because eternity will come to all of us. Life is uncertain. Life is brief. So the best thing that we can do here on time on earth is to seek God with our lives. Verse 15 says, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. The Lord willing. If the Lord's will, I will do that. This kind of talk is not popular in today's society. People are so independent, so self-sufficient, so wrapped up in themselves. It's not just enough to say the phrase, the Lord willing, I will do this. This is not some kind of magical formula that will guarantee success, but it's how we live out our lives. The Lord willing, I'm going to live this way. We need to. How do we live this out? By asking ourselves in every situation, what does God want me to do? How does God want me to live my life? Young people should ask this when they pick what college they go to. Young adults should ask this when they decide on who to marry. We should ask this when we consider another job. We should ask this when we're looking at a house or a car. No matter what we do, we should be seeking the Lord's direction. It's humbling ourselves to the point of letting God have the final say in our plans. Do you hear that? It's humbling ourselves to let God having the final say in our plans. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, 33 and 34, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We are so busy doing things, and these things are not necessarily bad, but it leaves us no room doing the things that we should be doing. Our schedules are so packed that we have no time to do devotions with our kids. We don't have time to read the Bibles ourselves. We are so busy, it is easy to plan our schedules without spending time to seek God's will for our lives. Many of us have goals for our lives. For our lives, our businesses, our family. We have purpose for the time that we spend here on earth. The question becomes, have you spent a long time with God finding out what His plan is for our life? Because His plan for our life could be different than what I plan for my own life. Maybe some of us here are spending so much time trying to climb the corporate ladder, trying to make more money, get a better job, and not enough time at home developing your relationship and instilling family values into your family. There may be people here today that are so consumed with hobbies and recreation. We can be too consumed with a relationship that takes priority over God. We need to make sure that our brief time is not dictated by the world and what it wants for us, but what we've got to seek God and what does He want for our lives here. It reminds me of a TV program. I never really watched it myself, but have you ever seen the TV program Early Edition? I've seen a couple people shake their heads. Early Edition. The basic storyline centered on a young man who somehow was able to read tomorrow's newspaper today. So imagine getting tomorrow's newspaper a day early. How would you use that knowledge? That really says a lot about who we are and how we seek our days. Would you use it to enrich yourself? If you knew the stock market was going up, that you put money there, going down, you take it out. Would you use it to help those in need? If you knew someone was going to be in trouble, would you help them? What would you do if you knew what was going to happen tomorrow? Some people are so obsessed with trying to learn the future. They peer into crystal balls. They read tea leaves and horoscopes. But the truth of the matter is, none of us really knows what the future upon earth holds for us. Only God knows. So 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, "So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it." Our goal is not to make money. Our goal is not to be famous. You know, if I lose all my money, but I'm still pleasing God and doing His will, I am in good shape because I'm fulfilling the purpose of my life. But if I make $1 million and I'm not pleasing God and my life is a disaster, I'm not pleasing what God called me to do. The goal of my life is to please Him. And my goal should reflect that. So at this time, I'm going to call Ellie up to lead us in our closing song. If God's Spirit is speaking to you today, come to the altar and respond to Him. Come kneel before Him and say, "I get it, Lord. I hear what You're saying to me today. I know I'm not invincible. Though I might feel secure right now, I may be healthy right now, I know that life is fragile. And I see that life is about You. It's all about You." So let me close by reading Ecclesiastes 12:13, which says, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." That's the whole duty of man, is to fear God and to keep His commandments and to live for Him. So let's stand together and let's sing, "Be Thou My Vision."